So now I believe Bill is going to come and read to us from Matthew chapter 20. Thank you, Bill.
This is Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard, which has already been acted out. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men and to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing, he told them. You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again, about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day, all day long, doing nothing? That's right. I think I got that bit right. Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go to work in my vineyard. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard sent to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those who came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only for 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave the one I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. It's not fair. How many of you have heard that? How many of you are parents that have heard that? Yeah, it's such a common thing, isn't it? You gave him two sweets and I only got one. Or whatever it might be. Sibling envy. As we're thinking of today, in employment rights, people say it's not fair, he gets paid more than me, and it should be equal. We've had a massive case of that, I think, in Birmingham, haven't we? Where women were paid a lot less than men for many years, which is unjust. But now they want equality, and it's bankrupted the city. So it's kind of a really complicated and difficult issue. But we do want to be treated equally, don't we? I won't go into the politics of that, by the way. Illness. It's not fair, is it, that some people get ill and die young, and other people live until they're very old? It doesn't seem fair in our eyes. So the question is, what is fairness? And I think there are two ways of looking at this. One of these, a human perspective. What do we as human beings think is fair and is not fair? And the other is from God's perspective. Is the answer different viewed from God? Well, I'm sure it is. And that's the purpose of this parable. The purpose of this parable, like many other parables, is to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. Notice Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. The other gospels tend to say the kingdom of God, because Matthew is writing to the Jews And the Jews did not like to use the name of God. Even today, they put G-D because to mention the holy name of God. The kingdom of heaven, this parable starts, the kingdom of heaven is like. So that tells us why Jesus told this parable. And it's worth noting that this parable only occurs in Matthew. It does not occur in Luke, John, and Mark. Matthew's gospel was largely aimed at the Jewish people. So a lot of the terminology in Matthew's gospel is aimed at that particular people, and the parables that he chooses to tell are particular to that cause. The point is envy here. Some of the workers were envious of the ones who got paid more and came in last. And the Jewish people, some of them felt, we are the people of God. We've been following Abraham for 2,000 years and then Moses, and now other people are coming into the kingdom. It's not fair. We're God's chosen people. And there were clearly people who felt it unfair that other people were coming in at the last minute. Now, the context of this parable is the previous parable, the story about the rich young man. And the rich young man had lots of money, and he wanted to know how to enter the kingdom, and he was very disappointed when Jesus told him that you don't get in with lots of money. That's not the way you get in. And his question is this: what must I do to get eternal life? And that verb, I think, is key. What must I do to get eternal life? Well, the answer is you can't do anything to get eternal life. This is the point of this parable. And then just after that, Peter has a question. He says, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What is there in it for us? There's an important question that people often ask. What's in it for me? What's in it for us? And I'll come back to answer those questions a little bit later. So let's now go to this parable, bearing in mind that Matthew's target audience was the Jewish people who'd been the people of God for 2,000 years. The kingdom heaven is like, and there are two characters. There's the landowner, the master, who is clearly he's playing the part of Jesus. So the landowner is Jesus. The workers in the vineyard are the disciples who are working with Jesus and relating to him. So the first group start at 6 o'clock in the morning, expecting to work a 12-hour day, and they get offered one denarius, which was a standard day's pay. So about £100 is probably a bit low nowadays for a day's pay, depending on what trade you are in, but you get the rough gist. To work a day for £100, that's the contract. Now, it's interesting that this first group are the only group to have a contract. They're the only group where Jesus says, I will pay you a denarius if you do a day's work for me. And there again is the parallel, because the Jewish people were the people with the covenant. They're the only people that God had made a specific covenant with back in the days of Moses and before that Abraham. And so Jesus Matthew's making a parable here, a parallel of the Jews with their covenant. The first group, work for me, you get £100, sorry, slipped into wrong jargon. Then group two, they come along and he says, I'll pay you whatever is just. So they don't have a specific contract, but they have to trust that the person who's calling them is going to be fair to them. Now, the implication for them would be, it is a human view, that it will be proportionate. Well, if they are working a day for £100 and I'm working a quarter of a day, then maybe I'll get 75. That would be fair, wouldn't it? Yeah. And if I work half a day, I get 50 quid. That would be fair. That's the implication. And the same with groups three and four. And then 5 o'clock in the afternoon, an hour before dark, the master goes to the marketplace and says, and sees other people standing around. Why aren't you working? And the answer? Now, the assumption is that these people were idle. No, they were in the marketplace waiting to be hired. And they say, no one has hired us. So here they are offering their services and nobody has come forward to hire them. So when they get an offer at 5 o'clock, they're very glad to take the offer because they think, well, I might get at least some money for working the day. Now, it's harvest time and there's pressure on the landowner to get all the grapes in before the weather turns or before the end of the season. The implication about these people who have not been hired is that there must have been other people trying to get workers to come, but the other employers had not hired them. Wonder why? They didn't want them. But Jesus did. So although they haven't been employed by other people, Jesus, in this case, does take them on and brings them into his vineyard to work. And in other words, he brings them into his kingdom late in the day. They're hired by him. And here comes the complaint about the Jews often made to Jesus. You're not spending time with us. You're going out for the tax collectors and the prostitutes. What are you doing going out to those people? You should be looking after us, God's people. And Jesus says, I tell you truly, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom before you. So what is the kingdom of heaven like? It is like this. At the last hour, when nobody else has hired them, Jesus offers the kingdom to these people. And they go in, and then, of course, they all receive the same pay. Now, I mean, I've done this kind of acting out in school assemblies before, and sometimes they were getting really quite angry that they weren't getting paid. The first person really thought they should get extra. When you put yourself in that position, it seems right. It's not fair that all these people should get the same. The people who have worked 12 hours through the heat of the day are getting paid the same as the people who come in an hour before the end of the day. Humanly, it doesn't seem fair. But in God's kingdom, that's the way it is. Groups 2 to 5 are happy with their wage. They got more than they expected. They never expected to get it at all. But group one complaint is this: the master has made them equal to us. And that hurt, because up until now, the Jewish people thought that they were God's chosen people. You've got to be descended from Abraham to be part of the kingdom. And Jesus comes and says, actually, no, anyone who comes by faith can enter this kingdom. And so here we are. I mean, we are in the second millennium or third millennium. We are coming, if you believe and are baptized, you enter the kingdom now. Not because you've been part of that people for 4,000 years, but because you come by faith into the kingdom. And what we receive is by grace. It's true, the last ones did not deserve to get £100. £100 for an hour, I mean, that's like a solicitor, isn't it? Goodness me. Oh, that's probably cheap. But it didn't seem fair, does it? It's extravagant that they should get that much. But the workers looked at it, they compared with each other. Now, something comes to mind here, another parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. And when the prodigal son, the one that goes away, spends all his money and comes back empty-handed, and father throws a party for him, the elder brother is furious. What does he say? Look, I've slaved for you all these years. In other words, I deserve more. And his father says, actually, you're my son. Everything I have is yours. It's not because you deserve it. And this brother of yours, he is my son too. They don't deserve it, but by grace, they both are sons of the Father. And so in verse 13 of this parable, Jesus, the worker, the landlord, who is Jesus, answers the people. He says, my friend, that's a good expression, my friend, I am not being unfair to you. Firstly, I kept my original contract. I am faithful. I promised you £100 for the day, and I paid it. That's my covenant promise to you. Secondly, am I not allowed to be generous with my money? It's my money. I can spend it how I want. And that is called grace. And the prerogative of the master to do what he wants. Listen to these words he uses. I want to. I am generous. I am good. It's entirely within his remit to spend his money how he wants. And there's a lovely quote here from Donald Hagner, who wrote a very good commentary on Matthew. And it says this, the spirit of envy, like the insistence on justice by a complainant, stands in sharp contradiction to the reality of grace. The spirit of envy, like insistence on justice by a complainant, stands in sharp contradiction to the reality of grace. You see, the people who are working first are envious that the people who have come in late have got the same as them. But that's the kingdom of heaven. That is what the kingdom is like. What about the thieves who were nailed on the crosses either side of Jesus? One of them was still shouting insults at him. The other one calls out to him, and Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That chap didn't earn it. He hadn't had a chance to do anything apart from hang on a cross and die. That's the justice of the kingdom. And so he goes on to say, at the end of this parable, Jesus says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. That doesn't seem fair either, does it? But that is the way the kingdom works. The last to come in will be like the first. And the first, in other words, the Jewish people who've been following Jesus, will become the last, but they'll all be in the kingdom together. Now compare that with what he says to the rich young man in the previous chapter. He thought he was first. And this time, Jesus says the first will be last and the last will be first. So he changes it around. The man who expected to be in the kingdom by doing things is going to be in the same place as the people who are received in the last minute. And Jesus says, the truth is the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. So what is the kingdom of heaven like? It's based on God's faithfulness and God's grace. It's not based on merit. It's not based on race or status in life. It is based on God's faithfulness and God's grace. The reward is eternal life, which is not earned or deserved, but a gift. So you can't boast about being a Christian, except that you've received the most amazing gift of eternal life and forgiveness for your sins. So, Jesus, we started off with a question from Peter. Peter said, we've left everything. What will there be for us? And at the end of this chapter, Jesus answers him. Beg your pardon, the previous chapter. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So that's the reward for following Jesus. Actually, we do ultimately get 100 times what we would have got otherwise. However, in chapter 20, after this parable, Jesus goes on to say, he took the disciples up aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." In other words, what can we expect to following Jesus? Actually, for many people, we suffer. We suffer persecution. We don't do it for what's in it for us. We do it to follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And after this amazing parable, some people still haven't got it. You know, sometimes it doesn't go in. So after this parable, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down said, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit at your right and your left." So basically she was saying, "I want my sons to have a privilege to follow you." Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "Yes, we can. You will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So if you're in the kingdom, you're here by grace. You're here because of the generosity of God, the love of God, and because of what Jesus did on the cross. Not because you deserve it, not because you've worked harder than other people in the church, or whatever it might be, but because of God's grace. So I think an appropriate way to finish this sermon is the prayer of Ignatius Loyola. "Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that I do your holy will." This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Grace. Wonderful word.